Our second reading of scripture comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8. A single verse, and when we hear a testimony about the nature of the King of Kings. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I should not have had trouble preparing a message for this morning. I have preached many King Day messages. When I was a younger man, the people in my community, you know, they simply knew me as a fiery black political activist and community organizer. Right, Mommy? Right. My mother is here this morning. Amen. And that's the way they thought of me long before they ever imagined me to be any kind of minister. So as a new and young preacher in Alabama, brothers and sisters, the only times that I would ever get invited to preach was on King Sunday, and of course, what do y'all think? Every Sunday during what month? Black History Month. Folks figured that with a name like Lukata Aje Mjumbe, that I must know something about something black. The first sermon I ever preached at Spring Valley Baptist Church in Gainesville, Alabama, was on King Day 13 years ago. So, brothers and sisters, it should not have been difficult for me to have simply selected a sermon. I must have a dozen of them with all kinds of good titles, Norris. I have King for a Day, The King and I. One time I used checkers, King Me, The King Has No Clothes, Dead Kings and Living Armies. That was last year, but this year, King Sunday has just so happened to fall on the same Sunday that I am to be installed as the pastor of this phenomenal called out body of believers known as First Presbyterian Church of Irvington, New Jersey. And this year, the Spirit led me to reflect more deeply on my own personal history of sermonizing on King Sunday and to even call into question the rationalizations for some of those previous invitations for me to preach that I may have received in the past. So this year I prayed about what should happen during King Sunday. I prayed about this installation Sunday service as I prayed about the intersection of this moment in time and space with all of my activist political history that has preceded me. God said to me, Lukata, this moment, this day, is not about politics. Now, you know me and my natural self, I'm never going to depoliticize anything. But the Lord said to me on this King Sunday and this installation, it's not about politics. It's not about hero worship of any black political leader. It's not about public policies, agendas, or nonviolent marches, or parades, or town hall community meetings, or any of the secular practice activities that have come to characterize this public holiday. The Spirit said to me, it's much bigger than that. Lukata, you are to be more than that. The church into which you are to be installed on this day is greater, greater, greater than all of that. So, beloved, today I'm preaching as much to myself as I am preaching to you. On this King Day, on this installation Sunday, first and foremost, I say to you today, must remember first that the Reverend Dr. King was a man of God. A man of God called into Christian ministry, and on this day, in all that we do, we must properly remember, understand, and celebrate the undeniable truth that the Reverend Dr. King himself had a king himself. Turn to your neighbor and say, King had a king.
King had a king.
Tell the other neighbor, make sure they know, King had a king. The Reverend Dr. King had a vision that was rooted in the word of the King of Kings. A supernatural courage and extraordinary strength to love that was born out of his relationship with the King that sits on high and looks down low on this day in this season of installation and transition. Let us not be confused. As much as we celebrate the life, as much as we celebrate the life and the political work, Richard, of the Reverend Dr. King, we must affirm that the greatest of the great are those that submit themselves in service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Please meditate with me for just a few moments on the message, the King of King, the King of King. Let us pray. Dear Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us minds to understand. Give us hearts to receive. Open us up on this day so that we can see your will, so that we can see your way, that we understand that King had a king, and that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords, you are the first and the last, and no one works like you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray together and we say together, amen. Amen. We're almost ready for the clip. On this Sunday in which we celebrate the life and the work of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., let us reflect upon a brief clip from the conclusion of his last public speech. A speech which he offered on April the 3rd. A speech which he offered on April the 3rd. They just anxious to get this started. On April the 3rd, 1968, the evening before his death.
Be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't gonna let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. He was killed the next day. Brothers and sisters, this speech has been appropriately entitled by historians as the mountaintop speech, in which King draws parallels between himself and Moses. Our Bible students will remember that at the end of his life, Moses was led by God to the top of a mountain where he was allowed to see the promised land that he would never enter. But I have to tell you that the words at the end of this powerful message from the Reverend Dr. King that captured my attention the most as I prepared for this message on this Sunday, and that I asked for you to consider with me more closely, was when the Reverend Dr. King said, "I just want to do God's will. I just want to do God's will. Like anybody, I would like to have a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will." King lived constantly in the valley of the shadow of death for more than a decade, threatened by organized groups of racist terrorists. But I just want to do God's will. His wife and his children received death threats, sometimes on a daily basis. His home was bombed, but I just want to do God's will. As a civil rights leader, he had been stabbed and beaten and arrested and targeted for destruction by his own government. But I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I just want to do God's will. On this day, we must remember that. We must remember that. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Remember." Other one, "Remember." Yes, we must remember. Remember that the Reverend Dr. King was, yes, a powerful civil rights leader. Photo number one. Amen. Yes, the man whose birthday we remember and celebrate every January was a gifted political organizer, activist, and advocate. Indeed, Reverend Dr. King was a champion of peace that exemplified the nonviolent resistance and direct action to effect political change on an international scale. Did anybody know that Reverend King was in Ghana? At the day of the celebration of independence in March in 1957, read the back of your announcement sheet. A drum major for racial justice that challenged the scourge of racial segregation, yet we cannot properly remember what he was and who he was if we do not resoundingly and resolutely recollect whose he was. Whose he was. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a man of God. The Reverend Dr. King had a king before whom his knee would bow daily and his tongue would confess. On this day, we must remember that it is those whose resistance is rooted in a belief in the name of the King of Kings, a name that is above every name. That is the kind of man That is the kind of woman. That is the kind of activist. That is the kind of advocate. That is the kind of Christian that can stand and look in the face of death and defiantly say, I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. I just want to do God's will. King had a king. And that is where his courage, his strength, his principle, his vision, his power, that is where it came from. Now, brothers and sisters, we know this is the case because we've seen it before. Amen? You remember when Irene read that first scripture from the book of Daniel in the captivity of the government of ancient Babylon? There were what, three Hebrew boys, right? And they found themselves in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. The powerful Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar had threatened that because they did not bow down, because they did not submit to the law that required them to worship the Babylonian gods represented in the golden statue, that they were going to be put to death. Nebuchadnezzar said to those three boys, whom he had named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, if you do not worship my gods, if you do not bow down to my golden statue, you shall be immediately thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? And what did the three boys say? Mr. Claudia, what did they say? They said, like anybody, we would like to have a long life. Nebuchadnezzar, longevity has its place. But we're not concerned about that now. We just want to do God's will. We just want to do God's will. We just want to do God's will. Let me scripture that for you. Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18. And yeah, I'm going to use the LRSV, the Lukata Revised Standard Version. They're not going to be able to put that one on the screen. The three Hebrew boys said, look here, Nebi. We don't have to defend ourselves to you. The God that we serve is bigger and greater than that blazing furnace that you got fired up over there. Yes. And if our God decides that we're not, that we will be rescued, cool. But check this out, Neb. Even if our God decides not to rescue us, it's still all good. Because we are not worried about anything. We are not fearing any man. And we will never bow down to your old raggedy gods. Because we are just going to do God's will. They had attitude. They had posture. They had swag. And that's the kind of attitude, posture, swag, and confidence that we need to have in this church, that we need to have on this day, that we need to have as we move into 2017. We're not worried about you, Trump. We're not worried about you, Congress. We're not worried about you, enemy. We're not worried about what your threats are, what your plans are. We're not worried about your blazing furnace over there or your old raggedy gods and golden statues, because we serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords. We serve the first and the last. Before our God, there was none. After our God, there will be no more. We're not worried. We're not afraid. We're not afraid of any man. We are just going to do God's will. We are just going to do God's will. Amen? Somebody needs to know. Somebody needs to know, when you know the King of Kings, your courage shows up. When you know the Lord of Lords, your energy gets amped up. Your energy, your inner gangster is made manifest. When your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. When on Christ, the solid rock, you stand, you know that all of the ground is sinking sand, and you're not worried. You're not stressed out. You're not worried about the threats, because you know that you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. On this day, we need to remember the words of the Reverend Dr. King, who said, "There comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but he must take it because his conscience tells him it is right." Beloved, on this day of remembrance and transition, we must remember that it is the assurance of the King of Kings that allowed those Hebrew boys, that allowed Reverend Dr. King, and that will allow us to actually do what is right. Amen. Now, you know, as much as I love, and as much as I've studied and I've sought to even emulate the Reverend Dr. King in much of my ministry, I am clear that we cannot fully understand him unless, we cannot fully understand him unless we more fully understand the God that he served. Amen. You know, last week, Reverend Kennedy preached. She preached from Isaiah 42 and from Luke 9. And she reminded us of a question. She reminded us of a question that Jesus asked his disciples. Jesus asked, "Who does the crowd say that I am?" And then he asked his disciples, "And who do you say that I am?" And beloved, there is a lot that is said by the crowd about who Dr. King was. And the truth of the matter is, in this season of a federal holiday celebration, there will be times that the God that he served will not even be mentioned. Watch. Listen. Look at the commercials. Look at the advertisements. Listen to the speeches. There will be times when the fact that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was a man of God, master of divinity, PhD in systematic theology, someone who was a pastor of a church the entire length and breadth of his ministry and his work as an activist, the God that he served, the King of Kings, will never even be mentioned. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine how it could be possible to take an important historical figure and to totally decontextualize that historical figure and make him into someone else? I'll let you meditate for a minute. Can you imagine how bizarre it would be to systematically remove someone from their lived identity and make them into someone else? Would it not be crazy to take a person and years later to completely remake them into a character, to recreate them into someone else and make them look like someone else that is not even recognizable? I don't know. What do you think? Maybe this strategy of whitewashing, maybe this strategy of reconfiguring personality and remaking persons is familiar to some of us, but I have to say to you that to seek to turn the Reverend Dr. King into a secularized, desacralized public political figure simply known as MLK is to completely misunderstand the meaning of the message that the Reverend Dr. King represented. You can take it off now. Because can I just deal with the name just a minute? Y'all been hearing me. Every time I refer to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I refer to him as what? The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But so often in the crowd, in this political world, they just broke him down to three letters, right? Who is he? MLK. This is MLK Day. This is MLK Sunday. They've completely taken his name And they boiled it down and they've reduced it down to those three letters, MLK, MLK. MLK is milk. Not even chocolate milk. MLK is weak. MLK doesn't speak. MLK doesn't reveal who he was and what he was and whose he was. They've taken his name, and the first step of any empire that is trying to oppress and control and to change and to separate a people from doing God's will, the first thing that they take is their names. I could go back to Daniel again, chapter 3. Like I said, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro, Abednego. Don't be mad at that. Those weren't their names. Those were names that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had given to them. Those were names that were Babylonian names. Those were names that were designed to connect them and to boil them down to something very different than who and what and whose they were. Shadrach's name is possibly derived from the word and from the name Shadur Aku, which means under the command of Aku, which was the moon god of the Babylonians. Meshach is probably a variation of Mishaku, which means who is as Aku is. That when you call Meshach, you say, Meshach is like Aku. Meshach is like the moon god. That when you heard the name Abednego, that Abednego is likely either the servant of the Babylonian god Nego, the Abed of Nego, or a variation of the word Abednergal, which means servant of the Babylonian god Nergal. So when they took these three Hebrew boys, the first thing that they did in order to disconnect them from God's will, the God of Israel's will, is they tried to take their names and make them into something else. Because if you read the book of Daniel closer, you see that wasn't their names. Their names were what? Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, Hananiah, which means Yahweh is gracious. Mishael, which means who is like the God of Israel, who is like Elohim, Mishael, and Azariah, which means Yahweh has helped. But they tried to take the names and change the names and rework the names and connect it to something else to make it something weak. No longer Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., now just MLK Milk. MLK Milk, where Dr. King came from, was educated by and mentored by an inspired and long line of ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. One cannot understand anything that Dr. King says. One cannot understand the vision of what Dr. King is communicating. One cannot decipher the purpose of his stories, his messages, his metaphors, if one does not understand the Holy Bible, which represented his manifesto and his mission statement to just do God's will. Amen. So as I close, brothers and sisters, let me just say that we can celebrate today. Amen. We can celebrate today. Hallelujah. Because Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's life was a testimony to the way in which God works amongst the people of God. But I have to say to you that in 39 years that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. lived, God's work was not completed. God was not finished. God's work is not complete yet. The great work that was advanced in the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is bigger than just his activist work. It's greater than just his advocacy work. It's more expansive than the confines of civil rights leadership. Yes, today on this King Sunday, there is an installation service, but we must be mindful that God is not finished yet. as Nora said, no, the work doesn't end today. The work is just beginning. No, the struggle doesn't conclude on this day. Now the struggle continues. No, we're not finished. Now is the time that we are at a new beginning to discover, to realize, and to celebrate what God has left to do with inside of us. Brothers and sisters, this is an installation. But if we are going to properly download and install what it is that God has for us, if we are going to be able to download and install the blessing that God has for me and that God has for you, if we are going to be able to install and download what God has for this church, then we are going to need to expand our memory capacity. The capacity of our memory, we need some divine gigabytes to be added to our memory, because our memory has to be longer than the 39 years of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Our memory has to be greater and more expansive than just the years of the Civil Rights Movement. Our memory has to go beyond just the independence struggle in Ghana in 1957, in Nigeria in 1960, throughout the continent of Africa. Our God is bigger than that. Our memory must be greater than that. We got to go all the way back to some Hebrew boys named Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. We have to go all the way back to a Savior that asked, who do you say that I am? We have to go all the way back to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the first, the last. Before him, there was none. After him, there shall be no more. We have to expand our capacity. And when we expand our capacity to know that we are led by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the first and the last, the Alpha Omega, the Protos, the Eschatos, when our memory is expanded in that way, then we can download the blessings. Then we can install the blessings that God has intended for you, that God has intended for this church, that God has intended to be released on this day, in this hour, in this moment. And you have gathered together to bear witness. And so just raise your hands and say hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God, that you have given us the opportunity. The opportunity to celebrate on yet another day. Yes, we celebrate the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. No, we're not drinking the weak milk. Yes, we are celebrating an installation in First Presbyterian Church of Irvington, New Jersey. But it's bigger than that. It's larger than that. It's greater than that. It's more expansive than that. What we are doing is we are opening ourselves up to receive the blessings of the King of Kings. Of the King of Kings. Of the King of your pastor. Of the King of this church. Of the King of this community. Of the King of all the world. Of the King of all the universe, the God of judgment, the master of the day of judgment, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we say thank you. We are ready to download and install. And in the name of Jesus Christ, let all the people of God say amen. 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 Amen.